to love is a complicated and ancient business. Love is biochemical, neurological. It pulls in our psychology and our spirituality. It's a small word, quick to say, but it's significantly more difficult to understand. God is love. So love's going to be a tough one to fully define or understand. I wonder if you've heard of the hormone oxytocin. It's been dubbed the love drug. Now, oxytocin flows when we are actively loving. It bonds an infant to their caregiver, and we're flooded with it when we're drawn to another in attraction. Oxytocin is the bit about love that feels really good. From a very early age, oxytocin forges and strengthens our relationships. Interestingly, it's been suggested by researchers that human bonding isn't just a nice bonus of being human. It's actually critical for our survival. Humans become attuned to the key relationships in their life. And it's these relationships that we seek out when we're threatened or if we feel we're in danger. We're driven to retreat to those closest to us for stress reduction and to feel safe. And it's the love drug, oxytocin, that reinforces this impulse, reinforcing friend over enemy. Oxytocin points the way back for us to love and to safety. Science also tells us that human beings bond when we group together. And this can happen through a process that can be totally outside our conscious awareness. Neurobiologists call it synchrony. It seems we might be hardwired as a result of our complex and ancient neurobiology to do things together. And I don't just mean in the same place at kind of the same time. I mean literally doing the same things at the same time. We're connected to and driven by a shared impulse to be in rhythm with those around us. Human beings demonstrate synchrony whenever we're given the chance. When a big group of humans gathers and walks together or runs together, studies have shown that we have herding tendencies. Crowds will synchronize their walking. People will fall into the same running rhythm when they're clustered together in marathons. Now, these unconscious impulses remind us that we each are so much more than autonomous sentence-making minds. There is much more going on in here than the thoughts I have or the ideas I might express. At our most fundamental level, we are ancient biochemistry and ancient physiological processes. We are embodied. And because of this, together, collectively, we can be incredibly powerful. Canon Rosario Cruz spoke in his sermon here last Sunday about his experience of joining Seattle's annual MLK March. He spoke of the buzz and the energy tangible amongst the people who had come together for a common purpose. You might have experienced something like this yourself, maybe at a protest or a live music event or out dancing, or here in this worship space. When human beings come together with common purpose, we can be so much more than the sum of our individual selves. When we connect, when we are safely together, when we feel part of the group, oxytocin flows and it feels really good. Anything feels possible. For good or for ill, perhaps. Perhaps, like me, you find it shocking that the crowd that was just now praising Jesus in our gospel reading is suddenly filled with such a great rage that they act collectively and with murderous intent to drive Jesus out of town. But what if this is an example, an illustration of what a crowd, any crowd, might be capable of when it's driven by inherited instinct, when a crowd acts somewhat automatically, to an extent mindlessly, in response to a perceived threat? After all, neuroscience seems to be telling us that the very same deep chemistry that brings us together, the very same processes that have us move and work together as a body, these very same things can, in a heartbeat, pivot to fear and to hate. Those physical processes in the body that teach us love and train us to seek out safety with the ones we trust, they're the same processes that can fuel hostility and intolerance. The crowd in today's gospel reading knows Jesus, and initially they enjoy and they praise his teaching. But as he continues, he shares a message that doesn't sit well with his hometown. And so Jesus is reinterpreted a threat. Given the scale of their response, I think we can assume quite a significant threat. It was a threat to their self-understanding. He was a threat to their understanding of God. He was a threat to their status quo. And so, possibly instinctively, they collectively and synchronously, as one body, drive Jesus out of town with all that buzz and energy that arises when we are in a crowd with a common purpose. The very same aspects of our embodied humanness that help us to survive can be the ones that turn a good crowd bad. Oxytocin and synchrony support love and kindness and can play a role in prejudice and intolerance. As embodied beings, then, we'd be wise always to be mindful that we are instinct and intention. We are biochemistry and rationality. And it's the presence and the practice, it's the practice of love that transforms a crowd of people gathered for a common purpose into the very real and healing presence of the body of Christ in the world. Given our embodied and encultured reality, the presence and the practice of love must be intentional, must become a practice for it one day to become instinct. In this place, we can begin to build muscle memory around this, grow in the practice of connecting and bonding. Because in this place, we stand, we sit, we kneel together. We sing and we pray aloud together. We share a holy meal together. So today, while you're here in this space, or joining us on the live stream today, perhaps try it out. Practice bonding through synchrony. Practice being aware of joining with the movements of your neighbors. As you sing or pray aloud, practice hearing the voices of others joining yours with theirs. Practice being a part of the body, sensing the synchrony of the crowd. Be here in full awareness of all of those around you. By love, with love, and through love, we are transformed from a crowd of individuals who all happen to be in the same place at the same time. A crowd of individuals, each of whom is vulnerable to those ancient inherited impulses that might prompt us to judge or to exclude or to fear the other. With love, we are transformed from a crowd into the body of Christ. Our common Christian purpose is love. And we can practice that love by each of us sensing, listening, and responding to the other until through bonding, our deepening connection, that love becomes an impulse as automatic, as powerful, and as biochemical as any instinct. Even and especially when we're confronted by the unfamiliar, even when we perceive a threat or a challenge to our self-understandings, to our closely held belief, or a deeply held opinion, or our status quo, then, when a love like that is cultivated by this body and made real in this body, when a love like that is felt by this body, then this body will be known and felt in the world as the body of Christ, gathered for a common purpose as it is, gathered for love.